Perhaps you've heard something like this before. Three men died and went to heaven. When they got there, St. Peter met them at the gate, and he said, "Now tell me why you deserve to enter heaven." Those lines can be an opening to hundreds of different jokes about dying and going to heaven. And some of those jokes are clever, some are funny, and some are pretty lame. But still, it's interesting. People picked up on this idea of St. Peter being the one to decide who goes in and out. Of course, that's not literally what happens when we die, but it shows us that there is something significant about what Jesus says to Peter and what he gives to him. In fact, you can look up right now and see the keys of Peter emblazoned on the ceiling. But before the keys, he gives him a name, Peter. He was Simon, son of Jonah. Now, Peter sounds like a normal name to us, but at that time, it was literally the word for rock, and there's really not much record of the name Peter before that point. He says to him in Aramaic, "You are Kephas, and on this Kephas, I will build my church." And yes, this statement, this whole scene is scriptural evidence for our Catholic belief about the Pope. But I don't want to spend the 30 minutes or more going over the arguments in favor of the papacy. The meaning of this passage is actually pretty clear if you just look for it. And you can find excellent explanations online. I would recommend anything by Dr. Brant Petrie or Dr. Scott Hahn if you want to know the scriptural debate around it. But instead, today, ask yourself what Jesus means by the words, "I will build my church." What comes to your mind when you hear church? A large building, like this one. Perhaps an organization that likes to make you feel guilty or likes to ask you for money. That thing you do on Sunday morning, right now. For us, the word church is pretty common. It could mean a lot of different things. But here in Scripture, it's much richer than that. The Greek word used is ekklesia, which means an assembly. More literally, it could mean to call out. The idea is that this assembly, this gathering of God's people, happens when they are called out of their homes to gather together and worship God. Abraham was called out of his native country. Israel was called out of Egypt. And the Jews were called out from among the pagan nations, called out and called to worship of the true God. And eventually this did require an actual building, a place they were called to. The Jerusalem Temple, one of the ancient wonders of the world. And when Jesus says he will build his church on a rock, a kephas, the apostles would immediately have thought of the rock in the temple. And that rock is actually still there in the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem. It was the stone foundation, the slab, the base for the Ark of the Covenant, the single most important location in the entire ancient world. God's presence rested upon that rock, making it the focal point for the assembly of God's people. So, is Jesus simply saying that Peter's bones will one day be the foundation of some huge temple-like building? Not exactly, although his bones are underneath St. Peter's Basilica. Jesus came to free us from sin, yes, but the goal has always been for human beings to worship God in spirit and in truth as an assembly. But in order to do that, we need to know the truth about the God we worship. And to know that truth, someone has to tell us the truth. And at this very moment, you could watch a television show or variety of news sources, or go online and find completely opposite claims about just about anything. There are conspiracy theories that can question everything you think you know. News sources seem totally dedicated to whatever ideology they have, and it's as if the story never really adds up. And it's just as difficult to sort out the different religions and what they claim. And even Christians can't keep their story straight between each other. So it's pretty hard to blame someone who wants to throw up their hands and say, we can't really know the truth about anything. In this world full of information, we have a hard time knowing the truth. And Jesus Christ knew that. The Old Covenant had a literal place as the center of their assembly, their church. But in the New Covenant, Jesus is trying to place truth at the center. We are called out of error and darkness into the light of truth. But which truth? Who do you say that I am? Jesus only gives Simon the name Peter after he correctly recognizes who he is. Even more importantly, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. The ecclesia, the assembly, the church of the new covenant is centered around the ability to correctly recognize and hold on to the truth as it is revealed by God. And if the church cannot reliably tell us who Jesus is and what he taught, then all of this is a waste of time. Jesus is either God or he isn't. He either gave us the Eucharist or he didn't. He either forbid adultery and fornication and all of these other sins or he didn't. And what is at stake in these questions is our eternal fate. The truth leads to heaven. Falsehood leads to, well, you know. But that is the whole question. How can we, 2,000 years removed from the historical events of Jesus, how can we possibly know for sure who he was, what he taught? Upon this rock I will build my church, my assembly, and the gates of the netherworld will not prevail. Those gates of the netherworld belong to Satan. Satan, the father of lies. So the promise that he won't prevail means that he will never succeed in stealing away the truth that was entrusted to the church. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. That is why there's some truth to the image of Peter standing at the gates, deciding who goes in and who doesn't. Getting into heaven ultimately boils down to this. Do I accept the truth about Jesus Christ and live it or not? And there is only one place to find that truth. That is the Catholic Church. If Jesus really wanted human beings to worship in spirit and in truth, if he really wanted to give us a reliable way to find truth in a confused world, then it was necessary to give us some kind of guarantee, some kind of visible, final verification. And that is what we have in the church and in the Pope. And it has worked, despite the human failures along the way. Peter himself will get it wrong next week. And he'll even deny Christ before it's all over. And history has shown us popes who were confused, popes who were liars, thieves, murderers, or just selfish and lazy. And yet we've never lost our central teaching of who Jesus is and what he taught us. After 2,000 years, we can still give you the name of every pope after Peter. We can still say with confidence, I believe in Jesus Christ, and know what that means. You are about to repeat the ancient formula of faith, our teaching in the Nicene Creed. I need, you need, we need the church in order to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because we need the church to help us know who Jesus really is. Peter speaks for all of the apostles. He speaks for all of us when he answers, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God."